Look in Luke chapter 23 and look in verse 33. The Bible said, "And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left." You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, we come to you once again tonight. We thank you and that for the wonderful, wonderful singing tonight and that of the choir. And I pray that those songs that they've sung have uplifted you, brought glory and honor to your name tonight. And Lord, as we preach, we certainly just need a touch from you. As Lord, these folk didn't come to hear from me tonight, but they come to hear from you. And Lord, I've said this many times before in my heart. It's not to make me sound smart or to make me sound like the best preacher in the world, but it's to present you tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us. I pray that you'd give us an unction from the Holy One and a touch tonight, and that from heaven you'd anoint us afresh. And Lord, we certainly need direction in this message tonight, and I pray that you'd help us preach. If there's one here lost, I pray they'd come and get saved this evening. Lord, that they'd see their need of salvation, that you'd move on their heart, and that they would trust you tonight as their Savior. Help the one that might be struggling tonight, maybe folk here that have a need that I have no idea about, but you certainly do, and I pray that you might help them this evening. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us with the Word of God, energize us tonight in our flesh, and Lord, we'll certainly give you the glory for it all. Save that sinner that's nearest to hell for these things. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen and amen. When we look in Luke chapter 23, as it is the only passage of Scripture in the Bible where Calvary is mentioned. A lot of places you'll find when it talks about going and that to Golgotha or the place of the skull, but here it is called Calvary. And we sing about Calvary a lot of times. We sing that song in the Redback book at Calvary. We sing about the old rugged cross where Jesus and that went and died for us. And boy, I'm thankful for the death that he gave us at Calvary. Now, I want you to get in your mind as we come here to this place and verse 33. Let me stop right here before I go any further and say, ain't you glad tonight that Jesus went to Calvary? Amen. Listen, every one of us be dying, burning in hell tonight. I had it not been for the grace of God. The Bible said over there in the book of Corinthians, by his grace, he said that it was by his grace he said that he was rich, yet he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. Ain't that good tonight, amen, that I'm rich in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, and I'm glad that you went to Calvary. And I want you to know that by the time we get to this place right here, in Luke chapter 23 and verse 33, that he had been to the Garden of Gethsemane, his disciples have deserted him, Judas has betrayed him, he has went through a sham of a trial. Peter has denied him. The people have took him to Pilate. Pilate said, "I find no fault with him." He took him to Herod, and Herod sent him back to Pilate. And yet the people said, "Crucify him. Crucify him." And then we find that Pilate finally gives in and takes Jesus and whips him and beats him unmercifully there at the Roman whipping post, and beat him such in such a form that Isaiah 52 said in his visage was marred more than any man. And we find that Simon of Cyrene had to carry and that the cross of the Lord Jesus to Calvary. And it was there that they took him and they hung him up between the heaven and the earth in open naked shame, and that to die for our sin. But I want to look in the rest of this chapter, in the prior part of it, I want to look at four people that you'll find at Calvary. Can I say you will find that band or that little band of women that followed him around. You'll find the Marys was there. His mother was there. Mary Magdalene was there. And those women that followed him was there. You'll find that John, his disciple, the disciple whom the Lord loved, was there that day. And Jesus looked off Calvary and looked at his mother and looked at John and told him, said, "John, take my mother and make her your mother, and you take care of her." But as I look at this passage of Scripture, I find four different people, or four different types of people at Calvary. Let me say that first of all, that before I get started, that we'll find three of these four today. And actually, you'll find all four, excuse me. You'll find all four today still going on. Number one, look in verse 34. After he had come to Calvary and they had hung him up, the Bible said, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. Take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 27. You'll find Christ on Calvary at this point. In Matthew chapter 27, and look in verse 38. And the Bible says, then were the two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they passed by, and they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and the elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now. If he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. First of all, let me say that the folk at Calvary, number one, were scoffers. You found scoffers at Calvary. Here the very Son of God is dying for all mankind's sin. And they were those there scoffing at the Savior. Hey, can I tell you today, church, that we find the very same thing today. They know the work of God. They know what he's done. Hey, listen, history itself bears out that Jesus was real. History itself bears out of the miracles that was done. Hey, listen, the Bible said that you can't go outside. He said that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. You can't go outside and tell me there ain't a God somewhere. But here they stood and they mocked and that the darling Son of God and said, if he be the Son of God, then let him come down. If he be the Son of God, let him save himself. He said, if God would have him, for he said that he was the Son of God. Listen, do you realize that these folks standing around, they had been there. No doubt some of them had been witnesses and that to the miracles that Christ had brought forth, the miracles that Christ had done. They had heard his teachings. They had seen what he was capable of doing. But yet they stood there at Calvary and they mocked him, saying that he was not the Son of God. They derided him and scoffed at him. And hey, it's no different today. We have the same people that wants nothing to do with him. Amen. And all they had to do was trust him that he was the Son of God. They could not stand there and deny his works. He was not left. Listen to me. He was not left without a witness, was he? You know, God's always got a witness somewhere. So think about this for just a second. When you know, we find the story over there. In Scripture, is it in the book of John, where that pool would move, the angel would come down and disturb that water, and those that were lame, those that were impotent, could go down and into the water and be healed of whatever was wrong with them. Do you know that John had only been on the scene for what, 30 years and 6 months? I mean, he was only 6 months older than Jesus. John the Baptist was out there paving the way for the one that was to come. John had only been around for 30 years, and I don't know how long his ministry was before Christ came walking over the hill over there, coming to Bethabara and had to be baptized of John. But listen, for some time, that pool had been disturbed. And when it would get, you know, God never left himself without a witness, is what I'm trying to tell you. For 400 years between Malachi and Matthew, God was silent, but he still never left himself without a witness. And so these folk knew something different. They had to know that Jesus was different. Even as we've seen in Sunday school this morning, Nicodemus, I come to him and said, we know that you're of God, that you cannot do these works. So they knew something was different, but yet they stood and they scoffed. I mean, they openly scoffed at the one that could have saved them if they would have just come to him. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. They have no idea what this is about tonight. I'll never forget the first time that ever got burned into my mind. And I can see it. I was sitting over there at First Bible Baptist. I'd sitting there and watching Brother Langston preach. And man, he was out in the middle of the hallway. Let me put it to you like this. He was old then and he's still old now. He's my friend. And I don't mean that by any bad thing. And here stood no white-headed man preaching the gospel as red-faced as he could preach. And I sat there and I thought, my soul, the world would think we'd be crazy to sit in here and watch this old man preach to us about the gospel. The Bible said to them that perish, it's foolishness. But to us which are saved, thank God for that. It is the power of God. Boy, I'm telling you, they sang about the cross tonight. They sang, why do you think we sang about it? And we preach about it. We testify about it. Amen. Hey, now I'm glad he ain't there. Amen. He ain't there. They took him off that thing. He died there. And you ask me how God died on Calvary, I ain't got a clue, friend. I don't know. I don't know how. I really don't know, but I believe it tonight. Amen. I believe that Jesus was God, and I believe that physically he died at Calvary. How? Because our sins was on him and he took our place. But I'm going to tell you, the scoffers stood there and listened. They thought it was foolishness of what he was. And they hated him without cause, the Bible said. And it's still the same today. They hate him without cause. You get to talking about Jesus. They ain't got a clue why they hate him, but they hate him. I mean, you start using his name, they get all worked up and all bent out of shape. Why? Because of a name. Because of a name. Jesus. You can talk about God. I remember listening one time. There's a woman on TV. She had watched the bank robbery take place, I think, or something. She's over in North Carolina. And there's interviewing her on TV, and she had followed, I think, now if I remember this thing right, if I'm lying to you, I don't mean to, but I believe she followed the robbers as they left the bank and was trailing them while the police was trying to catch up with them. And she got to using some terminology over there that I know she'd been in church. She got to talking about the Lord. Now you know that folk out in the world, they want to talk about God. They want to talk about the man upstairs. Don't you ever refer to him as the man upstairs. He's far more to me than just the man upstairs. But boy, she got to talking about the Lord. And I thought, hey, that woman right there, she's got at least some church knowledge. Amen. I don't know if she knows him or not, but she's been in church. Listen tonight. He was more than just a man that went to Calvary. He was the God friend that came from heaven and died so that we could be saved. And they stood out there and they mocked him and they scoffed at him. And that's what they're doing today. So in verse 37, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the king of the Jews. So there they stood mocking him and scoffing him, and the truth was facing them. Truth's facing folk today, and they still want to mock it. They still want to laugh at it, but yet they're faced with the truth. Remember, they wanted to read that he said that he was the king of the Jews, but yet Pilate said, I have written what I have written. I believe Pilate knew who he was. You remember Pilate's wife come over there, said, don't have nothing to do with him. Pilate's wife said, don't have nothing to do with this just man over here. And he should listen to his wife. But listen, there were scoffers there, just as there are scoffers today. Listen, if you look in the book of 2 Peter, the Bible tells us over there that there's going to be scoffers in the last days. Scoffers.
They make fun.
What were they saying? What were they saying? Where is the promise of His coming? For all things remain the same as they have been since the beginning. Well, no, it's not, by the way. If you go over and look at it, the world stood in and out of the water and all those things. You can read about that. Did God not flood this world? Did God not? I mean, man, He made it rock to and fro like a drunkard, the Bible said. I listen, there's a lot of things I could say right there, but I couldn't prove it. But listen, things changed when He flooded this earth. It did not remain the same. He is coming again, by the way. Let me put a plug in there for that, too. He is coming again. But there's scoffers. Number two, there was not only scoffers there. But go back in the text verse and flip back, or in the text chapter, and flip back to chapter or verse 13. Look in chapter 23 of verse 13. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things, whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod. For I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, but they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Now listen to me, you're going to miss it here. So what's going on now? Jesus has been hanging at Calvary when they scoffed at him. But see, what's took place now is this is before Calvary. And you'll find that if you go back and you look in Matthew, I believe it is, or it might have been Mark, you'll find that it was a tradition to release one at the feast of the Passover. And he actually gave them and that the man, he said, do you want me to release Barabbas or do you want me to release in that Jesus? You can go back, and I believe you can find that in Matthew where he asked that question. And they holler out, release unto us Barabbas in verse 18. Now if you look in John chapter 18, you'll find that Barabbas was a robber. You'll find out that in this verse here he was an insurrectionist. You'll find out that during that insurrection, he committed murder and he was put in prison. But because Jesus went to Calvary, Barabbas got to go free. So you find a scoffer, but then you find a substitution. Jesus went to Calvary so that Barabbas didn't have to. You know that Jesus went to Calvary so that we didn't have to. Do you realize he's a substitutionary death? Boy, that excites me on the inside tonight. I'm telling you, as I read this and I thought about this, I thought, my soul, somebody in authority had to make that decision. Jesus didn't make the... I mean, listen, in heaven that decision was made. Now get turned in. But do you realize somebody in authority had to make the decision to let Jesus go to Calvary and Barabbas got to go free? Right? Pilate made that decision. I mean, he gave in to the will of the people, but Pilate made that decision that Jesus would go to Calvary and Barabbas would go free. Somebody in authority made the decision that Jesus would go to Calvary and I'd go free. God in heaven decided that Jesus would go to Calvary. Can you imagine that conversation that day after... Let me say this. Do you realize that our salvation... Well, take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Peter. I'm going to show you something tonight. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1 tonight. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. And I want to show you something about salvation here. I'm not a Calvinist nor a hyper-Calvinist. I want to show you something. Look in verse 18. He said, verse 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So we understand about Christ tonight. He was the Passover lamb, wasn't he? I mean, he was the sacrificial lamb that went to Calvary and died for me and you so that we could be saved. But look in verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Do you realize that before God ever spoke this dirt ball into existence, the plan of salvation was already took care of? I believe that's what that scripture is telling me. He said, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Now, would you not like to know about that conversation? That over here, before time as we know it ever started, God the Father and God the Son, and I'd have no doubt God the Holy Spirit was involved, they had a conversation about creating earth. And when they created earth, what are they going to do? What's going to happen? He's going to create man. And in the process of all this, that he creates all of these things, man's going to fall. And man's going to have a sacrifice. You realize it? That by the time God started time over here somewhere and created everything, the whole plan had done been generated back over here. Now ain't that something? Would you not like to have heard that conversation? I always wondered, talking about conversations and I'm going to move on. I always wondered what Jesus and Elijah and Moses talked about on top of the Mount of Transfiguration. I mean, I know it was about his decease. I know that it was about him going to Calvary, but I'd like to have heard that thing. But listen, Jesus was our substitution. We were no different than Barabbas. You say, well, I'm not a robber. I'm not an insurrectionist. I'm not a murderer. I listen, in the eyes of God, was all vile. We're all evil. We're all wicked tonight. Because Adam dropped us off into sin. And we could not save ourselves nor do anything with it. Do you realize that Barabbas could not have went free until Pilate said he goes free? Listen, we cannot go free until we come to Calvary and accept him for who he is tonight. We couldn't go free. He was our substitution. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. He said he suffered the sins of the just for the unjust. Hey, that was our substitution at Calvary tonight. Ain't that a wonderful thing? Ain't that a wonderful thing? I didn't have to do that. I'm not going to have to do that. I did not, will not, never will have to do that. 2 Corinthians 5 said, for he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Ain't that wonderful tonight? We find that there was a substitution. A substitution. Somebody took my place and took your place tonight. That thrills my heart. When you realize that you should have been there, and even if you were there, you still couldn't have died for yourself. Ain't that something tonight? Even if we could have died there, we couldn't have still been good enough to die for ourselves. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was good enough. Do you realize that God placed on him our sin? We looked at that this morning. Just for a minute, I quoted it over there in Isaiah chapter 53. What did he do? The Bible said that he placed on him the sin, our sin on him. The Bible said that he made his soul an offering for sin. And when he seen the travail of his soul, he was satisfied. He was my substitution. But then number three, look in verse 39. Look in, and I'm talking about the people that were at Calvary. Verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Now, let me stop. And let me go back to this substitution thing for just a second. Do you realize that substitutionary death
is still there for folk today. You follow what I'm saying? He is still there so that sinners can get saved. That substitutionary death has not been taken away. I mean, he died for sinners. I mean, the Bible said that he came to call sinners, not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Listen, that substitutionary death still stands today. God still honors that thing. And if the sinner will come to him and get saved, he'll save him. Amen. And that's what I'm going to deal with right here.
But the other answer rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." So we find scoffers at Calvary, we find a substitutionary death at Calvary, but then we find a sinner that got saved at Calvary. Here stands a man, is hanging a man beside Jesus, and no doubt probably on his right side. We sing that song that way anyway. And listen, if you go back to the book of Matthew, you'll find out that both of them at the beginning of this thing cast it in their teeth that they railed on Jesus. But somewhere, one of them thieves figured out who Jesus was. Well, I'm glad there's a day that I figured it out by the help of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad there was a day that he came and dealt with my heart. In verse 41, this thief knew who he was. He said, "We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." He knew what he was. He knew he was corrupt. He knew he was no good. He knew he was a thief. But there he was. He said, "I'm getting what I deserve. But this man has done nothing amiss. He's done nothing wrong." And boy, I can imagine in my mind now, listen, these men are being crucified. I mean, blood is drained out of them. They've not had anything to drink. They could barely, I mean, they've got them hanging up. I can imagine as he turned and he looked maybe toward Jesus, and in a breath that he could barely speak and gurgle out, he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He knew he had a kingdom, didn't he? Think about that for just a second. He knew who Jesus was. And he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And look what he said. He said, "Verily I say to thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." That old boy waited to the very last moment that he could have got saved, but he got saved. Listen, do you know that it's the same way today? Jesus will save any sinner that'll come to him. But you know what sinners has got to do? They got to realize what they are. I'm not saying that I realized that the night that I got saved that I was vile and wicked and no good and all that. I just realized I was lost. That's what I realized. I just realized that, I didn't have him and I wanted him and I needed him in my life. God had spoke to me and dealt with me. And right here, he realized what he was. He realized who he was. And he realized that there was only one that could save him, and that was the man hanging at Calvary. You know what? For sinners to get saved, they got to realize that the man that hung at Calvary is the only one that can help them. Ain't that something tonight? You know who was at Calvary? He was a sinner that got saved at Calvary. You know, he saves boys and girls, and he saves young men and young ladies, and men and women. If they'll just realize that they're lost and that he's the only one that can help them, he'll save them tonight. Ain't that wonderful tonight? Hey, listen, the Bible said, "Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And in verse 13 he said, "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." All this old boy done was called out to the Lord and said, "Just remember me when you come into your kingdom." I don't think I would wait that late. I don't think I'd wait that late. I've seen folk get saved. I'm going to tell you, and I think I've told you all this story before, and I'm going to tell it real quick. But I remember going and witnessing to a feller in the nursing home, and, Tiny's daddy. I remember going and witnessing to him, and me and Buddy and Tiny, I went and talked to him. And I'll never forget as we pleaded with him, and Tiny had talked to him, and Buddy had talked to him, and I talked to him. And I'll never forget when we asked him if he wanted to get saved. And somewhere, and you all may think I'm crazy, but something blowed in the middle of that room. And you could feel that thing. And that thing wasn't nothing but the Holy Spirit of God rolling in there. And boys, it got thick in there. I mean, I'll just be honest with you, it really did. Because I'll never forget when we asked him, said, "Do you want to get saved?" He said, "I believe I will." And I'll never forget leaning down there on his bed and telling him what he needed to do to get saved. Listen, it wasn't me that saved him. I just had the great opportunity to get to tell him what to do to trust Christ. But see, the man hanging at Calvary was the one that saved him. He just had to realize he was just a sinner and needed to get saved. That's what had to happen. Listen, when you realize you're a sinner, you can come and get saved, but you can't get saved before then. And listen, that brings me to the last part. Number four, go back to verse 39. "And one of the malefactors which were hanged, railed on him, saying, 'If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us.'" You find number four, that there was a Savior that was spurned. They turned him away. You'll find a sinner that turned away Jesus right here. He was probably this close to him. Maybe another arm's length, and he could have had him. He could have touched him. He could have been saved. But you know what he said? He said, "One of the malefactors which were hanged said, 'If thou be the Christ, save us and thyself.'" You know what they had to believe? They needed to believe that he was the Christ. See, what he was wanting was proof that he was Christ, when all he had to do was believe by faith that he was Christ. You know what you believe tonight, friend? You believe by faith that Jesus died and was buried and rose again, and that he'll save you if you'll come to him. But you know what? That thief hung on Calvary and turned him away. He was so close. He was so close to him. But yet he slipped off into death, not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." That's all he wanted, was to be down off that cross. He didn't want to change. He didn't want something that's going to make him different. I have no doubt that sinner that got saved that day, that fella had peace in his heart. He had never had before in his whole life. But this fella right here slipped off into eternity and died and went to hell because he rejected the Lord Jesus Christ hanging at Calvary. Who was at Calvary? Who was there? You'll find scoffers were there. You'll find a substitutionary death that took place. You'll find a sinner that got saved, and a Savior that got spurned, that got turned away. Now let me tell you, that substitutionary death is still real tonight if you're lost, and he'll save you. Don't be a scoffer, and don't be one that's going to turn away the Lord Jesus Christ, but trust him tonight to save you. Let's bow our heads tonight across the house, if we would. Brother Jeff, if you would, let's come and give the verse of invitation tonight. We'll do a little singing tonight. I feel like we need to do that. Those at Calvary. Can I ask you something tonight? Have you ever been to Calvary? Have you ever been to that place where you asked Jesus to save you? I've preached on it. Men have preached on it. Sunday school teachers have taught on it. Folk have testified about it. But have you ever been there? Now, I want you to listen to me, friend. I want you to listen to me real good. If you've never been there, then you've never been saved. You've got to come to that place where you see yourself as that sinner needing to get saved. You realize that you're lost and only Jesus can save you. Oh, I'm so glad I came to him that night and trusted him. He'll save you tonight if you'll come. He was your substitutionary death where you did not have to die and go to hell. But he'll save you tonight. Don't turn him away. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for helping us preach. We thank you for the message that you give us. Lord, I thank you for that night that you dealt with my heart. And I moved. And boy, because you moved, I moved. It wasn't me first, it was you. And I thank you for that. And Lord, I just pray tonight, if there's somebody here that needs to move, if they need to get saved, let them come and get saved.
Let them come out of that pew tonight and come to this altar. And Lord, we know that you'll make every step with them. And they don't have to worry about traveling it alone, that you'll be there. And Lord, we'll meet them down here and just be so tickled to tell them what it means to be saved. And I pray tonight if there's somebody here that just needs to do business with you, that they'll come and do business. Help in this invitation for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Stand to our feet tonight. What page number, Brother James?
Page 385.
Page 385 tonight. If you need to come, I want you to come tonight. We get ready to sing.